I welcome you to this 10th and final study of Spiritual Power in Preaching. We have studied many practical and I trust effectual things up to this point. And I believe that the Lord will bless you as you apply and appropriate the many wonderful truths that have been revealed throughout this previous 9 which we have done together. I come to this 10th and final, and I want to bear my heart with you with reference to the preacher's reward. I want to encourage you how very significant it is to be faithful in the preaching process through the years of your life as God has called you to preach the gospel. And I want to encourage you by pointing your eyes and my eyes to the ultimate, powerful, glorious reward which every faithful preacher will receive in that final day. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:17, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." I see in this statement a reference to all the many things the apostle did. He traveled. He started churches. He reinforced church life. He wrote epistles. But in all of it, the Apostle Paul preached. He preached, though it often caused him hardship and pain. He preached, though oftentimes it meant stoning, shipwreck, or danger by the hands of those who vehemently opposed him and his gospel. Yet in all of this, the great apostle preached. This, to him, was the beginning and ending point of evangelism, church planting, and pastoral care. As an evangelist and missionary, he preached the gospel. As a church starter, he preached the gospel. As a discipler, he preached the gospel. Preaching for Paul was the climax and summary of what he did. He preached Christ crucified and risen again. He preached the gospel which had the power to change the hearts of men. He saw that the preaching of the gospel was God's means of delivering the gospel of Christ to the lost. And when he asked for prayer, as he often did, it was with preaching in mind. He said in Ephesians 6:19-20, "Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, and pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." What a sharp sense of call and duty this is. Paul had the preacher's heart for Christ, and this burned deeply within his soul. Underlying everything that he did, he was a preacher. Christ had called him to preach. Now, what is the end for a man like that? When a man turns away from the wealth and prominence of the world, what consumes his thinking when an end to his life comes? What was in the apostle's mind when, having counted everything lost but to know Christ and serve him, he came to the end of his life? Well, thankfully, God, who allowed us so much insight into Paul's personal life through his epistles, also gives us the privilege of gazing into his heart as death neared. In Paul's final epistle, 2 Timothy, he bares his heart to his young preacher friend. Paul lays everything bare before his God and his protege. In chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 of that great epistle, he says these words, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. The executioner was not far away. Paul's departure was at hand. Somehow Paul seemed to sense it. He saw the opening of the heavenly door, and he felt the gentle breezes of heaven on his soul. He knew that his time of departing was at hand. But what of it? He had lived his Christian life as one being poured out. Why would this final act be any different? Rather, he had always been one as to, as he says in Romans 8:36, face death all day long. He said in Romans 8:36 also that he was considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But for Paul, the issue had never been convenience or self-preservation. Survival was never the question for Paul, for his goal all along had been, as he revealed in Philippians 3:10, to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in death. So death held no fear for Paul. He welcomed it with open arms and an eager heart, for he had said in Philippians 1:23, I am torn between the two, for I desire to depart and be with Christ. Indeed, Paul saw himself as a citizen of heaven, as he says in Philippians 3:20. And even more than that, as he reveals in 2 Corinthians 5:8, to him, heaven was home. At his heavenly home, Paul would be with Christ and await the glorious resurrection of the body. All of his life had been poured out in the service of the Lord and Savior. How could death hold any fear or regret for him? As Paul revealed his thoughts and feelings to Timothy, he wrote with satisfaction and a sense of completion. This, I believe, is always part of the faithful preacher's reward. Several times in my life, I have been privileged to set a high and lofty goal for myself, and by God's grace to attain that goal. What a satisfying feeling exists in the heart of the preacher who fulfills God's goal for him. The faithful preacher stays true through the storms of his ministry. He stays on the main highway, even though there are many side roads to detract him. Few are the preachers who do not fall into the ditch through the years of his life. To be sure, many times the attack seems overbearing. Many times the temptations seem to be compelling. But the preacher that keeps his eyes on Christ and his glorious calling will one day know the deep satisfaction of having run the race well. He will rejoice at having completed the task which God has assigned to him. And his meeting with Christ Jesus face to face will be a most glorious event. What awaits the faithful preacher? What awaits you, my beloved brother, as you faithfully, regularly, consistently, perseveringly, walk with God and preach powerfully through your life? What will the future hold for you? Of course, because the preacher is first a Christian, he will know the joy of receiving the fruit of God's salvation. That is more glorious than tongue or pen can tell. It is marvelous to contemplate the wonders of heaven and the heavenly home. This will be the portion of the Christian. And then the preacher, in addition, will have a crown of reward. Even now I tremble with excitement to ponder what the thrill will be when I see Christ. My call was thrilling. I reflect back on it with joy and wonder. How could he have considered me to call me into his service? But he did. His touch was sweet and powerful. I was clay in his hands, and he molded me as he wished. I was his preacher. I would give him my life. What then will be my exhilaration when I shall behold him in that future day. What will be my amazement as I kneel before my Savior and my Commander? I will lay before Him my life as it was poured out on the altar of sacrifice. I believe immediately, in that moment of love and adoration, all the marvelous results of labor shall be known and rewarded. Instantaneously, I believe, the souls of people whose lives are God's through the instrumentality of my life and work will suddenly be known. I do not believe the hardships or personal sacrifices will be remembered, for they will melt at the intensity of His glory. All that will remain will be simply His love and call for me, and my adoration and obedience for Him. Nothing else will matter in that great and final day. Can you not understand then why Paul did not regret death, but welcomed it? Can you understand now why Paul longed for Christ's appearing? This is the motivation and encouragement which God will give to the preacher as he walks through this earthly veil of tears. The end will come. Christ will take you unto Himself, and you will be gloriously rewarded. Everything, and I mean everything, must be judged in the light of this truth. Live every day and every week with that glorious encounter with Christ in mind. Preacher friend, you and I have a glorious calling. We have a high and holy task. Nothing could ever compare with the responsibility and assignment of preaching Christ's magnanimous gospel. Will you settle for second best? Will you give your Lord anything but your highest, your deepest and best? Think about it, dear friend. Consider these things in the light of eternity. Picture yourself aged and spent. Consider what will be valuable to you then. What will be your feelings of earthly pleasures when you come to that point? What will be your thoughts of heaven and eternity at that time? Therefore, my beloved, based on what is true, what is valuable, what God has given to us, based on the promises of the great and rich rewards which shall be ours if we serve Him faithfully and trustworthily, lay aside then everything that would trip you up, particularly sins which so easily seem to stop us, and run your race well. Keep your body under subjection for holiness and spiritual effectiveness, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27. Pray that God would put a watch over your mouth, as the psalmist prayed in Psalm 141, verse 3. Pray that your tongue will be under the control of the Holy Spirit to be used as an instrument of the gospel. Preach with unction. Make it your heart's cry. Preach with fire and earnestness. Do not rest until you have made this your absolute goal. Let nothing deter you. You must not fail the cause of Christ. Your decision, yea, even your very life, is vital to the work of God in this world. And always, always be assured of God's most blessed and assuring promises to all of the workers in His vineyard. For He has said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Dear brother, I look forward to meeting you in glory. May God bless you and guard you in your ways until that great day. Keep true and keep firm, and to Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Dear brother in Christ, it has been an indescribable blessing to me to have had this honor of speaking to you about these most important matters of preaching the Word of God. I trust that God will make you the anointed preacher that you want to be and that He can make you to be. And now until we meet at the precious feet of the Lord Jesus in glory, may your heart burn with a holy fire to preach the word.